Yes, yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing today? Isn't it a glorious day?
Amen.
We are blessed to be here in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
Well, I am welcoming you, Pastor David Branson. If you're first-time visitors with us, welcome. Glad you're with us today, and hopefully that you can make this your church home. If you're looking for a church home, we would love for you to join us in that capacity. Just a few quick announcements. You do have a Connect card in your bulletin. I would encourage you to fill that out and drop it in. If you're a member or regular attendee, that just records your attendance with us today, or any notes that you would like for me or the office to know, that would be the best way to get those to us, if you would please. Drop them in the offering plate as that comes around. We had a great youth spaghetti dinner last night. How many came to the spaghetti dinner and enjoyed a great meal last night? We had a great time. I thank you all for doing that. I believe we brought in about $380-some, Christina told me. We do have some meat sauce left. Bob, good job. Bob was our chef with the help of Christina and Jane Hart and the girls. Jada, Destiny, and Kat were a part of the team last night. They did a lot of the prep themselves, so thank you girls for doing that. I appreciate your help with that, and thank you Bob and all of your folks that helped you as well with that. The flood buckets. If you notice, we have a flood bucket on the cart there in the narthex. That's what they look like. Next Saturday, we're going to gather together at 10 a.m. in the fellowship hall. I believe right now we've got enough donations to do 6 of those buckets, so if you want to come and be a part of that, there will be sign-ups and you can look at the buckets as well and speak to Nancy Geddes and Betty McVirchie in the fellowship hall and see what you can do to be a part of that or come and help fill those buckets as well. So we look forward to seeing you all next Saturday for that as well. The flood buckets, if you don't know, they are collected by UNCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, and they go out throughout the country in episodes like they've had in Louisiana, in West Virginia, and the recent, as they're still undergoing some rain and probably flooding with this tropical storm going up the East Coast, they as well will be sent out. What they do is have cleaning supplies. You can take a look at it. But it's really a good starter kit for getting the mess cleaned up and the supplies that they need for that as well. So please come out and be a part of that as well. Our grandparents' day is next Sunday. We're going to have a potluck luncheon. We're encouraged to bring a dish to share. A few meats being provided and the that part of the meal to go with that. We encourage you to bring a potluck a dish to bring and share. We're going to celebrate our grandparents next Sunday after church, so be sure to be a part of that as well. You'll find in your bulletins a full page letter from our bishop. Looks like this. Pull that out. And what the bishop's doing with all the new changes and things that are coming up in the future of the denomination, which means the church as we know it, there's a lot of things to be discussed and determined. Our bishop is a big part of that. He's actually chairing the committee of the Council of Bishops as they meet and discuss. If you watch General Conference this year in Portland, it was decided in 2 years to call a general session again of our General Conference to discuss human sexuality and the issues that go along with that. So the bishop is going to be gathering in 4 locations in September. Let's see, the date for our closest one is in Fort Lauderdale. So what we can do is be here as hard pulled down. But the bishop is truly encouraging the churches to come. It's a town hall meeting where you can ask questions and hear concerns and questions from other folks. So I'm encouraging you all if you can. And somehow we'll try to provide some transportation. The one that we'll be going to is on a Sunday afternoon, September 25th. So if you're able to make that, I would encourage you to be a part of that discussion. Because this is your church, and there's a lot of big decisions to be made in the life of our church, and you should probably be a part of that. If not, I will come back, and I will try to convey that information as best I can, and we'll walk through that procedure together. We really don't know. There could be some big changes in the future for the United Methodist Church. So we really need to be a part of that, a part of that action and a part of that process of finding where we move, how we move forward in the future. So I would encourage you, if you're able, to be a part of that. And we'll have more information as we get closer to it. And maybe we can carpool and have some drivers to go down. But I think it's very important that we honor the bishop's wishes. He wishes for the churches to be able to gather and have this time of just reflection and to try to decide, you know, as they decide what changes will be made in the future. So please come out and be a part of that as well. Our crosswalk is coming up October 1st. There is a bulletin insert for that as well. We're still collecting money. Rather than sponsor individual people, what we usually do is just have you folks donate the crosswalk, and then I, myself, and we generally have 20 to 25 people turn out to walk in the crosswalk, so we're hoping to have that same kind of turnout for Lakeside again this year. It's a good time. It is on a Saturday this year, but all that information is in your bulletin, so I'm just giving you a heads up to try to be a part of that. It's a great time, and Cross is a very worthy organization for us to support. It's local here in our own community, so I would encourage you to be a part of the crosswalk as well. There's a lot of things in your bulletin. Just because it's summertime doesn't mean we're sleeping and not doing much. We're active in the life of our church and our community, so find a way you can get plugged in, and please be a part of this is your church, and you're called to be an active participant in what goes on here in mission and ministry. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a couple more weeks until the choir returns, so this morning you're our choir for our intro. So if you would please stand And join me.
We are your family, brothers and sisters, all sharing in your vision and word. We give you thanks for the many ways you have blessed us, encouraged us, and renewed us. We thank you for the times we have experienced joy, and for the knowledge that your love and your comfort and your grace accept us completely. We bring our joy and gratitude to you today as we sing our thanksgiving and praise. Amen.
And if you would remain standing with me for the prayer, change my heart, O God.
He was making a vessel, he was making a jar of some sort.
When Jeremiah walked in and saw him making, and all of a sudden he just smashed it. Have you ever done pottery or anything like that? Play-Doh? You make something with Play-Doh, did it come out perfect?
No.
We're not very good potters for the most part, are we? But Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and he saw the potter making a vessel, and the vessel had a flaw. Now, we do have flaws like the vessel of it. We're not quite perfect. Some of us are more perfect than others, right? Who's the most perfect person you know? Who? If we are flawed and we are marred and we are junk, why does God keep trying to make us into something better? Why would he do that? Because he loves us. You heard Brandon. Because God loves us, he's willing to take extra time to continue to mold us and form us and shape us. Hopefully someday we'll be perfect, right? So that's what we've got to think about. We're not perfect now. We're probably not going to be perfect tomorrow. But we are on our way to perfection. Do you know what that means? When we get to heaven, we're going to be perfect, aren't we? Yeah?
Yep.
So we got a long road ahead of us, don't we? Yeah, so we got to work on that. We got to allow. God doesn't only form us, but we have to allow him to work in our lives. Is that a good statement? Are you letting God work in your life? I got a letter from camp when you guys went to camp. They told me that you guys really, really did great. And you really saw God at work in things you did at camp. Is that true? So God worked pretty steadily with you during that week here at camp, right? There's a lot of giggling going on. But I think there were some other things going on at camp too, right? Were there boys at camp? God's got more work to do with you guys. See, you're young. He's got a lot of years of work on you, son. He's got time. Okay, so I want you to keep an open mind to God continuing to grow you and form you. You're already beautiful. You're already, in my eyes, you're perfect. Really? You are. You're beautiful young ladies, and I'm glad I know you. But God is even going to do more than you could ever imagine in your life, okay? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these beautiful young ladies. Father, they are magnificent images of Christ himself. And Father, I just pray that you would continue to mold them and grow them. Let them have fun along the way. Let them know that you cherish them and love them more than anything else. Father, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. That is for them to go to camp next year. So that's helping to defray some of the cost of that. Thank everyone that participated in that as well. It's the time of our service as we now go before the Lord in prayer. And as usual, it seems in the life of our church, we have a lot of folks who really need to keep lifted up. And some serious medical issues and relationship issues and financial issues and all the issues of life. So let's be in the spirit of prayer as I read these names off this morning as well. Karen Snyder, we continue to pray for her. She's undergoing chemotherapy. She's away with a friend this weekend, so we're hoping she has some good quiet time as well, just to regain her strength. David Snyder, her husband as well, he's diabetic. He's got some foot issues, and he had surgery this week on his foot. And it looks like he's got several more surgeries in his future, so continue to lift David up as well. And of course, Devin's not here today, but their son, Devin, he's seeing all these problems that they're having. Trying to cope with a 10-year-old, so let's definitely keep that in our prayers as well. Stan, Hannah, Mary not here today. So Stan has had foot surgery as well on Friday, so continue to pray for Stan. Ellen Miller, we made contact with her this week. She is still at 408. She would be transitioning to another
arthritis and for your healing of your tendon in your foot. So get better, girl. I see Rose there. Rose, we're going to continue to pray for you as well. She's had some health concerns this week as well. David Shute, you see David's not with us today. David ended up in the hospital Saturday morning real early. And I'm glad to see him yesterday. He's got shingles. He had AFib, so he ended up in the hospital. He just texted me this morning and said, "This place is a mess. I'm getting out of here." He's going home. They told him his issues could be handled outpatient, either by his directive or the doctor. But I think he's going home today if he can get out of here. Also heard that, Benny, if you've been in touch with him today. So David is just trying to get back home as well. More prayers, folks, to lift up. We've been praying for Ann, which is Nancy Geddes' sister-in-law. She fell and I believe had some hip problem, right? And she is back home now, but we need to continue to pray for Ann as well to continue healing. Bud, Darren, he's still in the hospital. Talk after church, maybe I can find and see him if he's local here.
South Carolina.
Oh, okay. But keep that in your prayers. He's been in the hospital for a good long while. Sharon is lifting up dental problems this morning. Chris this morning is lifting up his financial situation. And prayers for his son, his family, his friends, and his enemies. Pray for your enemies. That's an awesome thing. So, absolutely. And Chris is just praying for knowledge and wisdom to be like Jesus' wife. Good job, Chris. Yeah. Very good. We do have a praise this morning. The Simmons back there, Gary and Violet, are celebrating on Tuesday. Their 35th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Violet, he wanted me to pass on to you that he loves you more today. He says as much today as he did the first day he met you, but I think he loves you more than that. So, Gary, I'm going to change your words. You love her more than that, right? All right. Next time, use more instead of the same. Happy anniversary, 35 years, that's quite a milestone.
Wow.
This day and age, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know there's many things you bring this morning. Let's go to the cross and let's let Jesus take these issues from us, okay? Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just amazed at how you continue to form us and work us and keep us on the potter's wheel. Father, we get lumpy and bumpy and pop with imperfections and just the struggles of life, but you continue to turn us and create us anew each day. Father, I pray today that each one of us, as we come to the communion rail today, and we recommit our lives to you, that we see your image fresh anew, as if for the first time today. And let us relish the joy that knowing Jesus Christ brings to us. Father, today we've lifted up many names, and you have been in the midst of these situations for as long as they have been happening. Father, we rest assured that you are watching over these people that we love and care about. Father, we know that you are continuing to mold and form them in your image. Father, today as we gather, let us remember the ones that are suffering. Let us also remember the ones that are jumping with joy and are praising your name in the miracles of life, death, and resurrection. Father, today we celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, and his gift that he gave for each one of us. Father, we pray for our world today. It's a hurting place. We pray for victims of natural disasters, these floods and storms that have taken place, Lord. There has been loss of life. And for that, we ask your protection. Father, we love you. We know that you have received these people. Father, we know that you love us and care for us.
way you allow this church to be in mission and ministry to our community, to our country, to our world. Let us continue to feel the blessing of helping others. Father, we pray that these things we do for others are really things we do for you. Let us keep that in mind. We're not just serving others, we are serving our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Father, today we come to your table, to the foot of your cross, to the bedside of a friend, for those needing redemption. Father, we lift them up to you today. And the Redeemer's voice would ring true in their ears. So Father, be with us today. Bless our service. Bless our worship to you. Bless our thanksgiving and praise. We love you. We give you the glory in Jesus' holy and precious name.
Thank you.
gracious God, we ask your blessing upon our offering this morning. Father, let us reach out to those in need. Let us be the light in our community. Father, please receive our offering with the love in which we live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Our choir again is taking a little break for the summer, but we'll be back soon. In the meantime, we're having fun making some.
Hear these words this morning. Jeremiah received the Lord's word go down to the potter's house, and I'll give you instructions about what you are to do there. So I went down to the potter's house. He was working on the potter's wheel. But the piece he was making was flawed while still in his hands. So the potter started on another, as deemed best to him. Then the Lord's word came to me. House of Israel, can I deal with you like this potter, declares the Lord? Like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in mine, house of Israel. At any time I may announce that I will dig you up, pull down, and destroy a nation or kingdom. But if that nation I warn turns from its evil, then I'll relent and not carry out the harm I had intended for it. At the same time, I may announce that I will build and plant a nation or kingdom. But if that nation displeases and disobeys me, then I'll relent and not carry out the good I intended for it. Now say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. I am a potter preparing a disaster for you. I'm working out a plan against you. So each one of you turn from your evil ways, reform your ways and your actions. But they said, what's the use? We will follow our own plans and act according to our own willful evil hearts. I added that last. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do need to be reformed almost on a minute-by-minute basis. But Father, we're repeating these words this morning from Jeremiah. Bless us as we hear these words from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but the older I get, it seems the more set in my ways I get. Does anyone else relate to that? Many of you are not set in your ways, are you? You know, we hear God spoken of in many ways in the Bible. Supreme, of course. God is the loving Heavenly Father. He's the creator of all worlds. He's the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And here Jeremiah describes him as a potter. How do you feel about that? How do we see God? Do we see God supremely overruling the world and making things happen? Or we see him taking time for each one of us as individuals to keep spinning us on the wheel? How many of you feel like your lives are spinning on the wheel? Spinning out of control?
Get dizzy.
I think we can all safely say that in times our lives are spinning out of control. If we were to be on a potter's wheel, what is that doing? What does spinning on the potter's wheel hope to do for a piece of clay?
Shape it. Even it.
Shape it and what? Sling off its impurities. You know, how many of you have done pottery? That used to be the big thing. Boy, a lot of people did pottery and all that. Well, if you were to make a beautiful piece of pottery, you get it all finished, and you think it's just perfect. You put it in the oven and you fire it, right? Have you ever had a piece of pottery just explode in the oven?
Yep.
Why does it explode?
Imperfect.
It has what? Impurities in it. It could have an air pocket in it. That air pocket could expand and blow the whole thing up, right? I like to think when our lives are spinning out of control, that may be one of God's ways to sling the impurities off of us. What do you think? Does that make sense? As I thought about this, I thought, you know, that whole imagery of the potter spinning the pot on the wheel, when you spin something, that air and those impurities work themselves to the outside and you become visual to us and we're able to get rid of them. In this scripture today, we heard of the potter working on a piece of pottery, and as he got along, he said, this just doesn't look right. And he sets that piece aside and starts fresh, right? What do you think that means?
Those of you in Bible study, that could be a head scratching. Does that mean God has set us aside and says we're no hope for us? Let's put it aside and start afresh. As we yield to the potter's hands, he reveals things about ourselves to us. You ever get that imagery? That God is working on you. I've had some of you actually tell me, God leaves me in this mess until I learn the lesson of this mess. Or until the thing happens in my life that I accept or I surrender to God, God lets us stay spinning on the wheel, for lack of more descriptive words. God continues to work on us. What we gather from this scripture, even though God sets us aside and starts afresh, he never leaves us there, does he? This imagery speaks of going back to the clay, bringing it back onto the wheel, and continuing to work with us. God never throws away the imperfect vessel. I just thought of this as we went to Israel this last year. You know, you go in all the little tourist places and they have all these perfect little pottery things that they've made. And they're all just perfect. My wife searched around and found one that was all kind of crumpled over and leaning over. And that's the one you chose, wasn't it? Pardon? Yeah, I think she's actually brought it in here. That's when she gave her testimony here to you all. That earthen vessel is never thrown away. It was happy to see that they left it in that store, maybe for that particular reason. Someone will come along and see this little, leaning, imperfect vessel and think, that's me. That represents me in God's eyes. And we're really broken, marred, destructive people. And we've got to believe that God never throws away us. That he's always working on us. That he's molding us and forming us. I told the girls this morning. They're young. They've got a lifetime ahead of them that says they're in for a lifetime of change. Did you all confess this morning that God has changed you over your life?
Amen.
Are we exactly the same as we were when we were their age? Thank goodness, huh?
Amen.
Thank goodness God didn't give up on us. We have an example after example in the Bible. Abraham. Did God throw Abraham onto the trash heap? No, he used him. He left Egypt for the promised land, but he fell into sin. He lied about his wife, so much so that he almost lost her. He was disobedient. But God made him again as the leader of his people. He was known as the friend of God. Now, God takes some pretty shady characters to keep his friends, doesn't he? We've seen it time and time again. Peter, he was a great man of courage. What did Peter do? He denied him three times. I love the story of him on the beach after the resurrection and God asking Peter three times if he loved him. And he keeps asking, and he keeps asking, and he keeps giving us reasons to say yes. David, a man after God's own heart, he was an adulterer, a liar, a murderer, and God made him again. You can be made again. I don't know where you find yourselves today. People you care and love, that seems so far from God.
that seem lost in this crazy world. This world is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not hard to get lost in this mess. Those of us that are believers have to believe that God is at work in the world. I love the part of the scripture down towards the end there that I read. God removes the blessings upon nations as they turn from Him. Does that ring a bell? I wonder why the world's in the shape it's in. Are they turning from God? As we read our Bibles, and Jeremiah says that pretty descriptively, pretty accurately, that God can let us make our own mess and then live in it for a while, right? Those of us that are believers also know that the mess we're in now, God's going to fix it. We don't know when. We don't know how. We don't know who He's going to send. Or maybe He's going to send Jesus back to us. Those are questions that we scratch our heads over. If you're not in this Bible study, you should be. It's good. It makes us examine passages just like this. Every week so far since we started Bible study, I stand up here and I read a passage of Scripture to you that I say, wouldn't this be good for a Bible study? Does God hate the nation so much that He's going to destroy them? Well, if they're not paying attention, He just might. Many of us today are living under the shadow of despair. There's a lot of sad people out there today, isn't there? There's sad people in our own lives. There's sad people in this church. We're living under a cloud of despair, it seems, at times. Those of us that can muster the courage are called to be the light in those times. You remember that? Think of our friend David Shue. He's the light in many of our lives, isn't he? And when he goes down and he's in the hospital, we notice he's gone. Many of you serve that role. Had a discussion last night at the dinner. I called our people in the kitchen servants. Initially, they thought that was a bad thing. Most people aren't our servants. They're not our slaves. That's not what it means. If you've noticed, I've quit using the word volunteers here in church. A volunteer doesn't necessarily have a great commitment to the cause, do they? If they get up one morning and say, I think I'm going to go to the beach today. I was supposed to go to church and do something or serve on some mission or ministry in the church. But you know what? I don't feel like it today. That's why I don't use the terms volunteer anymore. A volunteer can come and go at their whim. I call them servants. Jesus Christ was a servant. I am a servant to this church. I don't just work for this church. I don't just work for you guys. But what I do try to do is serve you all. And as you see yourselves as servants, I challenge you when you feel like, oh man, it was raining yesterday and that spaghetti dinner was going on. I don't think I'm going to go help clean up afterwards. They'll be fine. That doesn't mean you've told Lakeside United Methodist Church or Bob and the group that was helping him yesterday that you're not going to help. Now all of a sudden you've told God, I've got better things to do and I'm not going to go and serve you today. Does that make you squirm a little more now? It should. You're not serving the people of, you're not volunteering for the people of Lakeside. You're serving God when you come and do. When you do things for the kingdom of God, never look at it as doing something for Lakeside. You're using Lakeside as a conduit as to how you serve God.
Amen.
That's what the church is for.
The early church was formed around the servant's attitude. This attitude of helping others and to be like Christ to others. But we are servants.
So from now on, when I call you, I'm not going to call you.
Here's the other thing.
This is something else I'm going to put back on you folks. Because I've heard this before from you.
Well, no one called me to ask me to help. That's calling up your team of volunteers to get your volunteers to come in. If you have a heart for serving the Lord and you know a need in the church and you know an area that you can serve, you should be there willingly to serve. You shouldn't have to be called to say, hey, you want to come and help? You should be there saying, hey, I'm here to help. What can I do? When you come to Sunday church, when you come in, do you say, what can the church do for me today? Or do you come in and say, what can I do for the church today? I forgot. See how you look at that thing in a totally different aspect. And that's what we do serving the kingdom of God. And that's how God, the potter, continues to shape us and form us. Because that becomes the goal then. If we refuse to yield to the potter's hands, we get put on the shelf for a while. We get put up on the shelf and we get to sit. And where do we get to sit? We get to sit in our nest. God's not going to say, well, you're not conforming to my will, so I'm going to put you in paradise for a while, and then I'm going to come back and get you and take you out of paradise and try to fit you into this mold of who you are. God's not going to take us out of a mess and set us in paradise without us willing to change. That's what the scripture says to me today. And what this gift today, as we get to come to the Lord's table, who's invited to this table?
Everyone.
But can everyone take it, take this gift and receive it without first doing what? Accepting Jesus as your Savior. Acknowledging God as number one in your life. Acknowledging that you're a sinner. And that you're willing to get back on the potter's wheel and try to be transformed into something different. Something more Christ-like. He'll make you again. He'll keep working on you. The potter has a plan. And all that has to happen is the clay has to be willing to surrender. It's hard to surrender, isn't it? Surrender seems like a form of weakness to us today. But it's not. It's surrender to the will of God to change you into something even better. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come to you submitting ourselves once again to the potter's hands, to the spinning wheel, slinging off the imperfections of our lives, slinging off the bad things that we hang on to, that we dwell on. Father, today we receive and accept the gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. So Father, today, make us new on the potter's wheel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Greatest gift that has been given to us has been by Jesus Christ Himself. This morning, as you come to the Lord's table, I ask that you prepare your hearts. As much as we say God is always working on us, always changing us, we have to come in submission. We must come willing to give of ourselves, to allow the potter to change us,
hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be in a weeping church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. We praise you for all who labor for the common good. Is that not up there? You confronted us with the waste of laboring apart from you, and who asked us, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymns.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God.
Son Jesus Christ, anointed with your Spirit, his food was to do your will and to complete it. He took the common things of daily life, blessed them and broke and shared them so that all were satisfied. He told those who followed him, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. He confronted the powers of greed and evil at the cost of his life, but you triumphed over death and placed him at your right hand. To intercede for his disciples until the feast of eternal life. By water and the Spirit, he calls us to continue his work until we all, the people's feast at his heavenly banquet. And that night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. He said, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this. Remembrance of me. Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup, he raised it to his Father in heaven, and said, bless this, for this is my blood poured out as the new cup, the new forgiveness of sins for you and for me. Do this in remembrance of me each time that you drink it. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves to live daily as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And now let us pray with the confidence of the children of God, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Let us pray. Thank you, dear Jesus, for this gift of salvation. Father, we pray today for those who have gone before us, the saints that are in that cloud of witnesses. Father, we pray today that we too shall join them someday. And Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift of eternal life. We pray in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn. Our closing hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, in 382. As we go from this place, let us be pliable in the potter's hands. Let our clay never dry out. Let our imperfections be taken away from us. As we leave this place, go now into the potter's hands, down to the potter's house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.